Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. This episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Ma Bodhi Marga. Marga took sannyas in 2000 and is the chief editor of Italian Osho Times. Marga translated over 40 Osho's books distributed in Italy by various publishing companies. Marga is a woman of many passions and interests, including writing, singing, human design, astrology, tarot reading, dancing tango, and playing poker. Marga, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Swaram. I'm very good. Thank you. And thank you for having me at the show.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Okay, so to start, tell us a little bit about how you came to know about Osho.
Okay, so it was 1999, and I was really in one of the darkest moments of my life. Some things have happened in my life, including having a miscarriage of the 6 months of pregnancy. And so I was really looking at life and saying, what's the meaning of it all? No, I was really pointless and clueless about life. And my boyfriend at that time, he brought me a present for my birthday. It was around my birthday. And it was a book that he bought in a mall. And he didn't know nothing about this book. He just liked the picture in the cover. And it was the Italian version of Dynamic Meditation, The Art of Ecstasy. And the picture was Osho, of course, with a yellow cap and these beautiful eyes just shining with the contrast of the yellow cap. And so he gave me this book and he said, I just like the picture. I like the eyes of this man. And so he bought two copies, one for me and one for him, because we were not living in the same place. So we both read this book mostly at the same time. And it was like a thunderstorm. You know, it was really, wow, that's what I've been waiting to hear, you know, and to read all my life. And immediately it was like the darkness completely disappeared. Now, and then from there, of course, I started to try the meditation. I bought more books I went to Osho centers in Italy, and after less than 1 year, I was in Pune. I took sannyas in Italy, at the Osho Ariant in Varazze, which is a very cute place that now it's no more. And so for me, it was really the place where the sannyas became real, Osho became real. And that's what the beginning of it all.
I see. Okay, it's great to hear that you had a local Osho center where you could take sannyas and move the first steps into the sannyas world. And it's a bit of a shame to hear that it's no more, but we will come back to this aspect of sannyas community a little bit later on during the interview. For now, I'd love to hear how your life changed after you took sannyas. I believe that going to India and Pune and experiencing the energy field there must have been quite special. So maybe, tell us a little bit about your trip to India and how your life changed.
Yes. So it actually started to change before that, because when this book story happened, I was working for a big corporate company, and I had a lot of money, good career and everything, even though I was very unhappy. You know? And so immediately I took a leave from work and I decided, okay, now the most important thing in my life is meditation. So for me, it was really about meditation. You know, it was not just something vague and abstract about spirituality and meditation, but I really loved the Osho approach of something practical. And so I started to do dynamic meditation at home alone, and I didn't even have a CD because I didn't know nothing about the community. I didn't even think that such thing existed, because usually a book is a book. You don't think of a community connected to a book. At least I was not thinking about that. So I was doing the dynamic meditation on my own and using a timer for the stages. Then I decided I'm never going to back to the corporate world. Nothing there, you know. There's nothing for me. And I went to Varazze and took Sanya's there. Shunya was there with Marco, and she was there just for that weekend. So I was just lucky. I called the manager of the center, and I told him I want to take Sanya's, and he said, "Just come. Shunya is here." And I went. I didn't know who Shunya was, of course. He told me he was Osho card taker. So I was thinking to see some Indian black mama, you know, that used to clean for Osho. That was my idea of caretaker. And then I saw this beautiful woman, Shunya, at that time. She was gorgeous. I mean, she's still gorgeous, but at that time she was really in her 40s, so she was in her splendor, really. And I took Sanya's without name, because the name, usually they had to apply to Pune, and then the name would come, and they do the Sanya celebration. And I said, no, I don't care about that. I just want Sanya's right now. Give it to me. They gave me a mala, so I had Sanya's without name for 1 month. And then I made arrangement to go to Pune. And at that time, I was already flying. So when I reached Pune, and it was November, early November, it was really like going into paradise. I never seen such beauty, such grace. Now, the place at that time, it was just white and maroon color. Now there was and green, of course, the green of the plants. So I was just there in awe and wonder, you know, with a big smile on my face, not speaking with anyone. For the first month there, I was just working, living in a dorm. So I was not even having my room, but I didn't care. I was happy, you know, to be around people, sharing the showers and doing everything together. And this big smile on my face would never go. And so I was in the residential program doing workers' meditation. I was doing, I was a caretaker. They immediately gave me some sort of responsibility work. You know, I had to manage like 40 people, most of them Indian laborers from outside. So for me, it was home. And it was the first time that I felt that way in life. I was home in life. That's where I belonged. And it was the Osho world, and it was India as well, you know, because I immediately had, I tune in with Indian and Indian people. I was managing the labor, so workers from outside, not sannyasin or anything. And I could connect with them even in, you know, it was not a language thing. We were just connecting. You know, I had a great time in that Osho environment. And in this, on the boundaries, of these workers. And then, you know, it's Indian people. So they were very worshipping and respectful of the place. They were totally aware. You know, for them, it was a holy place. So they were behaving in a very respectful and prayerful way, you know, in the place. So it was really like being wrapped in this incredible atmosphere of beauty and grace. And I was just, you know, starting with meditation 6 a.m. and doing my workers' meditation, then Kundalini and white robe. It was still called white robe at that time. And then even the night meditation, Now, most of the times I was going into the samadhi, you know, to do the sitting in the sitting in darkness, I think it was called. And it was just, you know, I felt my body was changing, my DNA was changing, everything in my energy was kind of bubbling. And I didn't care about dating, about having really a social life, you know, with friends. And so that's how my life changed. You know, it was really in my cells. And of course, I never went back to the old life. You know, I stayed 6 months in Pune, then I went back to Italy. And, you know, I can, you know, go on like 2 hours now telling you how it went on. But maybe you want to ask me something else?
It's fascinating to hear, and it resonates a lot with me because the timing, I also took sannyas in January 2000, so perhaps we were in Pune around about the same time, and also you struck me as one of those people who never met Osho in person, but at the same time has a very deep connection with Osho and whose life has been totally, dramatically transformed. Even today, you're still with Osho, and I'd love to hear about that. So for people who are interested in spirituality, there are lots of options available today in the marketplace, but you are with Osho. So I'd love to hear how come you decided to stick with Osho, even though you never met Osho in the body.
Well, the body factor was never relevant for me, you know. Of course, I would have liked to met him, to have met him in the body, you know, but it's really a marginal thing because, you know, when I, from the very first moment when I was reading this book, I felt his presence, and not like a ghost or anything like paranormal or psychic, you know. I immediately felt that he was my master immediately. So I don't know how this works, but there is something that is still happening, you know, for the people who never met Osho. And I know it is happening to me and many other people, and it's still going on. I never felt really pulled towards any other master. Even there are people, you know, like Eckhart Tolle and Muji, which it happened to me that I met them, no? And not because I was looking for them. It's just cases of, you know, circumstances of life. And I love them there. I admire them a lot. They're doing a great job, but I never even think about, okay, I can join them. No, I'm with Osho, that's it. You know, my path is clear. And it's a path of meditation, it's a path of love, it's a path of awareness, and it's a path of work, you know, because as you said, I never stopped being with Osho also in, you know, in the way I live my life every day. You know, it's something that is still happening. So physical presence, irrelevant.
Okay, well, that's very inspirational also for new people. Osho is available and is very much possible to be in love with Osho and have a spiritual path in the Osho tradition. So wonderful. Thanks for your testimony. In your case, as you mentioned, Osho is present in your life in many different ways, and it also includes your work, because by profession you work with the Italian Osho Times. I'd love to hear from you if you can give us an overview of the Osho Times in general. For people who don't know, what is Osho Times? When did it start? And for example, if it started during the time when Osho was still in the body, what's the vision of Osho Times? And, you know, guide us through a little bit of the overview of Osho Times.
Yes. So Osho Times was born more than 30 years ago. So I was not there at that time. It used to be a magazine in paper, so like a real magazine, the one that you take in your hands. Not at that time, they were all like that. And it was done in Pune and translated in many different languages. And from the very beginning, the Italian Osho Times started to have some sort of independency. For example, Osho decided that the Italians They should have gone back to Italy every year. They would not stay the whole time in Pune and sustain themselves. Now, so there was no support for the Italian Osho times as far as, you know, food and accommodation and all these things. And that Osho decided that. So the staff at that time, there was five, six people, they were a little puzzled, but they somehow accepted it because without questioning, without even asking why. Now, and that's what they did. So from the very beginning, they rooted themselves very well in Italy, then in Lombardy, near Varese. No? And on the long term, that was actually a very good factor, you know, because it became really like a small association with a physical place in Italy. And so when the English or Hindi Osho times in Pune basically finished, it closed in, I think it was 2008 or something like that, Italian Osho times could go on without any problem because it was already an independent and separate reality, also in the content, you know, because, of course, they were at that time. I was already there because I joined them in 2005, and we were translating some of the stuff that were in the English Osho times, but we had a lot of things going on in Italy, in all the Osho centers with the Italian therapists and all this, that we had a lot of Italian content that was relevant for the Italian public. No? So we were not so dependent from the English Osho times also on that side. So for us, we just had to transfer the production from India to Italy, because up to 2008, we were printing in Pune. And so we just moved the production in Italy, and since 2008, Osho Times is printed in Italy and distributed in Italy. And we had the means to do that, you know, because we had the physical place where everything was happening. So now all the Italian stuff of Italian Osho Times is in Italy, is in Varese, in Cradate. And I am the only one who is in India, but I'm not in Pune because I moved from Pune in 2012 and I live in Goa. I work from home. So it's really an independent reality in harmony with Pune. Of course, we work on license from Pune and we have a very good relationship with them. And, you know, we've always been working side by side, even though independently, you know? So from 2005, I have been working for the Osho Times. I started actually as a volunteer in 2004. I was doing dynamic every day, and then I was going for coffee and cigarette at the Smoking Temple, and the chief editor-in-chief of the Italian Osho Times at that time, Sahaja, he was also there. So we were talking, and at that time, I was already a translator, yeah? Because that was my side activity from when I was a young girl. I was into translation for in different ways, and into editing, into publishing. So I just told him this, and he told me, well, why don't you come and give it a try? And I said, okay, I will come in the afternoon, because in the morning I was still wanted to go for the morning meditation and all these things. So I started to go 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to do translations for the Osho Times. Sometimes it was translations of Osho or some therapist or something like this. And then after a season like this in 2003-2004, Sahaja told me, yeah, if you want, you can join us full time. And that would mean that I could also get paid. Now, it was a very little expenses cover, but still it was there. And then I said, look, I already booked for another place. I'm going to Croydon Hall. That's where we met, actually. And I already took a commitment for a year, but maybe in a year from now, if it's still available, I can join. And so I stayed almost 1 year in Croydon Hall, working as a housekeeping and cook. So totally different kind of work. And then the next season, Saja told me, okay, are you ready now? And I said, yes, I am. And so I joined full time. So it's been now basically 15, 16 years, let's say, of Osho Times. At the beginning, I was just a translator and editor. And through the years, Saja at a certain point, he retired. And after 2 years of retirement, actually, he left his body. He was sick and he left his body. But when he retired, I became the editor-in-chief. So basically now I do the old programming and I decide what goes in the magazine. And sometimes I still do all the translation, the transcription, and especially now that we are on a low budget, I have to do everything. So I am 100% involved in Osho Times. And in the meantime, I was also working for with Videa. I translated something like 40 books of Osho. Some for big publisher, for small publisher, some for Osho Times, because we give Osho books as a gift to the subscribers. You know, the people who subscribe, they get a free book. And I, through the years, I got to translate all these books. So I really know Osho books inside out, let's say. So I am very much connected with Osho books, Osho words, and Osho discourse, because many times when it's available, when I check a translation for a book, I go with the audio to see if I really got the right spirit, the right pauses, and all these things. And I have to say it has been my main meditation through the years, because the first few years of my sannyas, let's say the first 5-6 years, I was really deep into active meditation and therapy. I did everything, I could do. And it was very good. Then from a certain point on, I was not so much in Osho centers all the time, like those 6 years. I was at home on my own. And in Goa, I'm not even close to any Osho centers or anything. So everything is on me. And so I organize my meditation. And my Buddha field is with Osho, with his words. It's like I'm constantly in satsang. Yeah? So it has been really my inner transformation really went through translating Osho. And it's not just an intellectual thing. It's nothing intellectual. It's really, feeling the words of Osho inside of me. So it's not even a skill or a talent that I have. It's just happening through me. No? And of course, I'm a good translator, but a good translator, not that I am the greatest translator in the world. I know English and I know Italian and I know Osho, so I'm good for the job. No? But it's really much more than a job. It's really like an ongoing, continuous love affair. Sometimes I get lost, because life can be tough sometimes. And then there is something, a sentence, something I had to translate, and then, wow, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. And so I'm always in some sort of work in progress, and I'm always in some sort of beautiful space, even when I'm sad, when I get lost, there's a part of me that is always connected with something. I never feel that I'm really disconnected, really lost, or really isolated or on my own, even if I am alone. And I tell you, 6 months in Goa, in COVID time, it was almost 6 months in that isolation. So on a human level, it was not easy, but at the same time it was easy because I was never alone. I was always connected. And in the last since March, we are not taking money for our work in Osho Times and Oshoba, because there's no money, because main money is coming from live events, Osho Festival or the Vipassana retreat, the Osho tour. No, and so everything was cancelled, and so we are all working without getting any money. And that was really a great test, to see that, wow, I can do this even if they don't pay me, you know, because it's really a nourishment that makes me stay in such a space of trust, you know, that things happen. I have a small income coming from other activities that I have, but my main income at this point in life was coming from Osho Times, you know? And nothing is going, and I'm still here, you know, and the commitment is the same. And it's not a commitment because I sign a paper. It is a commitment coming really from the deep, you know, that this is me. This is who I am, what I am. And, yeah, so I don't know if there is something more specific that you want to know about the Osho Times. So you just ask me. This was very briefly my experience with it.
Yes, I mean, we can talk for days and weeks and years, I guess, you know, but
yes.
I think what you said is very meaningful. It's a great reminder that people who work with Osho, it's not just something that you do as a job. There is a deeper connection. That's the real reward. Of course, we all need money. We all have, you know, need to use our energies in different ways. But I think the key is this connection that goes beyond what we do on the material plane. And that's the key. And also, I want to take this opportunity to thank you, as I'm talking to you and all the friends at Osho Times Italy and everyone else involved in the work of Osho in Italy, because Italy is perhaps one of the countries where Osho is the most widely available in many different ways, starting from the books. And actually, I didn't know that you translated 40 plus books of Osho from English to Italian. And obviously, you do a great job, because Osho books in Italy are bestsellers, sold in any little bookshop in the small town. You'll find Osho there. So you guys in Italy have done a great job in making Osho available, and I can only be thankful for that. So I think, well, it's beautiful to hear that Osho Times in Italy is independent and you create your own content. From an editorial point of view, it's a big challenge to always be in tune with what's going on, to produce content which is relevant and engaging, and you have been doing this for over 30 years and now you are in charge of it. I'm very curious to know, how do you go about creating always new and relevant content, and what's kind of the vision? What kind of content do you choose?
Okay, so there is a part of the content that is just Osho. And this comes, I would say, magically every month. I don't really know. It's not that I really plan it or make conscious research or now I'm researching, you know. But it just comes because maybe I read something somewhere, even on Facebook, you know, a sentence of Osho, you know, whatever. And I go and check where what discourse it comes from. And say, wow, this is great. This is beautiful. And then, of course, I keep track of what happens in Italy. And so we work very closely with Osho Miasto and with other facilitator and therapists who work in Milan. In all the Osho centers were still active with the Osho Circle, Osho Gautama. We always get content from them. And then we also do a research on alternative print, you know, where they give news about ecology, sustainability, and the neuroscience, and fields that are not necessarily meditation, but going to either on the conscious living side of things, or all the research work doing on meditation and see how it affects the body and the brain and all these things. So also relevant authors, you know, that say something beautiful, even if they are not directly connected to Osho, you know, because one thing that I noticed reading and in researching is that many times I hear people or I read nice authors saying something and maybe quoting someone else, and then I say, okay, this is Osho, this is Osho, and this guy doesn't know Osho, but he knows his words through someone else, because this is an incredible phenomenon. the message and the vision of Osho are so pervasive that they are even where the Osho names is not even mentioned. Not because these people are copying Osho and not acknowledging Osho. It's just that it came through something else to them, but that's how Osho impacted the consciousness. So there are things who are clearly Osho, acknowledge Osho, copyrighted Osho, and there are things which are Osho, even if Osho is not even acknowledged because the person thinks is quoting someone else. You know, and I find this amazingly beautiful because that's what is really life-changing in a society, in a collective, global society like ours. And so I like to go and fish in the collective. Osho message that is not even presented at Osho message. I don't know if you get what I mean. You know, it's really acknowledging that the world, despite all the ugliness which is there, consciousness is evolving, you know, and the impact that Osho had on the consciousness, on the global consciousness from the 70s to the 80s and then going on through his books, it made such an impact that is not even in the books only anymore. Of course, that was the meme. That's how it happened, you know. But then people, they think this is their own idea, and it's not their own idea, it's Osho's idea. And Osho's ideas are great in the sense that they are not dogmas. They are things that get you on the work on yourself. And so even if you didn't hear it from Osho, but you know that you need to heal your wounds, bringing them to life through a catharsis or something, that changes your life. Like you said before, there's a lot of things available in the spiritual world right now. And some of these things are perfectly in line with Osho. No, it's in the sense that they're modern, they're contemporary, you know, they don't speak with the old language. And they speak to people who are much more mature than the people Osho was talking to in the 70s or in the 80s, you know. And these people are much more mature on a spiritual level because Osho was there. And he did all that cleaning work, you know, on the old religions, on the old philosophy, on the old spiritualities. He cleaned everything. So when Muji is talking to his disciples, it doesn't need to do that work because Osho did that work. You know, directly on his disciple and indirectly on the whole society. You know, at least on some part of the society who is conscious, you know, that is not living in another century, who is contemporary. Because being in this world, being born in this century, doesn't make you contemporary in itself. Because if you are still an Orthodox Christian living in Minnesota somewhere, no, you're not contemporary. You're living 200 years before. But there are a lot of people who are contemporary right now, you know, and that's thanks to Osho and his impact.
Amazing. Look, you put it beautifully, and I'm so pleased to hear that. It's such a great reflection on Osho's work and Osho's impact on a global scale, because many times people think, okay, what's the legacy of Osho? And they look, you know, how many enlightened people are here and there. Apart from the fact that just yesterday I listened to an Osho discourse where he was answering a question, and the question was, do you have any enlightened disciples? And that was mid-80s. And he said, yes, there are many disciples who are enlightened, but they don't say. So that's just on a side. But it's great to hear and to notice, and I notice as well, that many times in neuroscience, in all the different fields, you hear people talking using Osho's ideas and Osho's vision and Osho's even words, paraphrasing Osho without knowing. They perhaps don't know Osho, as exactly as you said, but those ideas have been imbibed. They perhaps heard from someone else, or that perhaps they came to that idea on their own. But Osho was like this atomic bomb of consciousness that it's reverberating even today. And people who are sensitive, they can pick up those ideas, make their own, and progress further. It's beautiful. And it's such a great point that for me, it's very relevant. And it's one of the reasons why I'm doing these interviews with the sannyasins, old and new, also to put things into context, you know, because sometimes people don't fully appreciate and realize what Osho has done to humanity, not just on his direct disciples, but for generations to come.
Exactly.
Okay, yes. So before we leave Osho times, just a reminder, I'm personally a subscriber. I started, a few months ago when this COVID came, just as a form of acknowledging the work you guys do. And I invite everyone who is in a position who wants to do, you get amazing content, and also you help people who are now struggling a bit because of all this situation where all the live events have been cancelled and people, you know, obviously are in difficulties. But I hope you guys come out of it, and anyone who want to chip in and support, I invite you to do so. The last part of the interview, I'd love to talk a little bit about the sannyas community. You are in contact, obviously, with Osho and the sannyas community, but you also live in Goa, and I think you mentioned that there are not many Osho places there. So what's your place where you go if you need to recharge, if you need your boost of Osho juice and Osho energy?
Yeah, so here in Goa, there are no places of Osho at all. There are some sannyasins friends, which I meet with. But when I go often to Pune. It's a kind of a 500 kilometers. It's like an 8-hour drive or 1-hour plane. And so usually out of COVID, of course, you know, I go at least a couple of times a year to Pune, and I have still a lot of friends. I have the community of Tango there, which is one of my passions. And whenever I go to Pune, I always get my sticker, and I go for inside the Osho Resort for meditation, for the swimming pool and spa. I like to go during the monsoon, you know, and it's really beautiful. This year I skipped. Otherwise, in August, I always stay like 1 week, sometimes even more, in Pune during the Osho festival. Now there is a monsoon festival, it's called, in August, which is amazingly beautiful. With Osho family comes, so the younger sister, the people in the family who are still alive, all the nephews. And I know them personally because a few years ago I did an Osho tour with one guy from Jabalpur, from Madhya Pradesh, from the places where Osho was born and his family comes from. So we organized an Italian Osho tour, and it was called Glimpses of a Golden Childhood, you know, and we went to all the places that Osho talks in the book Glimpses of a Golden Childhood. So to Jabalpur, of course, to Garadvara, to Kuchvada, which is the place where Osho was born. Now, when he talks about his grandmother and all the places, the river. And so I made connection with the Osho family. And when I go to Pune, I always go and salute them, just meet them and say hi. And they always did during the monsoon festival. So this is usually a moment where I really love to be in Pune and connect with the Indian heart, you know, of the Osho Resort. And then another thing that I do often is going to Osho Myastur. It's a classic. I did a lot of trainings and groups and things, and it's one of the most amazing places in the world. And I have a lot of friends there. I was very connected with Lila, ex-Vaduda. Now that she passed away 2 years ago, and I miss her so much. So I was, whenever she was there, I was going to do all her groups, all her things. So we were really friends. You know, she was really a wonderful human being and a great ambassador of Osho. The way she was talking about Osho made me shiver. And then, of course, for many years, it was Varadze, Osho Harihant, which I think is still there, but it's not the original management of Ujma and Irod, which were one of the first people in Italy, you know, to open a center. In the last two issues of Osho Times, there is the story of Haryant, and Ushma is telling the story, and it's really, you know, we receive so many emails saying, wow, these articles are really made us cry, because it's so beautiful to remember, you know, these old times, which are not that old, because this community is still there. When I go to Varazze, I meet Ushma and the people who are still living around the place, and some of my best friends in Italy are sannyasins. And of course, there is my team, Osho Times team and Oshoba team. You know that we have three things: sales of Osho books online, and other things, you know, close to meditation and things like this, yoga also. Then the magazine Osho Times and live events. Now we're turning to internet events. We're starting on the 18th with Talking to the Body Mind with Chetana. And so we hope that we manage, you know, to keep the work going. And so I am connected to the Osho community. I also like to cooperate with Punya of Osho News. You know, we do, we exchange articles, and of course we do the same job. So we kind of connect very easily, and of course also with you, because we've been translating some of this podcast on the Italian Osho Times, and they were really loved by the people. You know, some, especially the one, the Vina story of Vivek Nirvana, that was really a bestseller, I would say. So I am very connected with the community, a different Osho community, in a different level, and at the same time, I like to be connected to the world, to the people as such. I don't make a big distinction between sannyasins and non-sannyasins when I relate to people, in the sense that I understood that you know, I bring Osho, even in the communities where there's no Osho. After some time, Osho is there. No? And it's not that I talk to people or convince people. I don't do that. You know, I'm not a preacher. I never did that. But they always ask me what to do for a living. And so, of course, I tell, I translate Osho. I work for the Osho Times. And they get curious. And then they say, but there's something about you. And what is this? And then they start to ask me about Osho. You know, and then I tell them, yeah, okay, you can read that book, you can watch that, I mean, you can listen to the discourse, you know, especially in India with Indian people, I always tell them, listen to the Hindi discourse, you know, because I listen to them and I don't understand them, but you do understand them, and they say that Osho Hindi is pure poetry, you know, so I really like to be in the world, really, and to be with the normal people. Yes, it's beautiful.
Okay, wonderful. It's really great to hear, and also this ability to relate to the world outside of Osho, bringing Osho there, I think is key, and not having any distinction between sannyasin and non-sannyasin, just having an open heart. That's how I also feel like I want to live life, and I think that's how I'm doing as well. And I want to thank you for publishing the transcript of the interview with Vina about Nirvana and Vivek. That was really special. So it's great to hear that people loved it. And then I just want to highlight and mention that you guys are also involved in organizing the Osho Festival in Italy. And as far as I know, it's perhaps the biggest gathering of Osho lovers in the world. It's really booming. There are lots of young people, and I heard that is amazing. I've never been personally, but you know, it's really like a bombastic experience. So I really hope the situation will come back to normal, and you can carry on doing that festival again, happening in Italy. It's incredible. It's such a tiny little country in the world, but with Osho is really going very, very well. So the last question I have is a bit, so say like an eye bird view on the sannyas community, looking at the sannyas community from above, for you personally, what would you like to see in the world of Osho today?
What would I like to see? The only thing that comes to my I would like to see united. I don't know exactly what you're asking me, because I usually don't think so much about the community as such, you know, in the sense that I relate with people and they happen to be in communities, you know, and then I relate with communities. But I see more the individuals, you know, than the community as such, even though I know it exists. You know?
Yes, that's right. Community is an abstract concept. It's like society, you know, it doesn't exist. It's like humanity. There are human beings, there are people, there are sannyasins, there are, you know, Osho lovers, there are beautiful people around the world and you relate to them. But I think the answer that came out instinctively, this word united, is the same feeling I have. It's the same longing. And perhaps it's again an abstract concept. An utopia vision, but I think it's beautiful, and it's nice to have these intentions that we send out for all the Osho friends and Osho lovers and sannyasins coming together. I think because it does create. When we meditate together, I think it's better than when we meditate alone, and it helps each other. And I think it's a wonderful way to end this beautiful interview with this idea of the united.
Yes.
Okay, Marga. So is there anything else you would like to add before we conclude this wonderful and pleasant chat?
Thank you, of course. And also I wanted to acknowledge how I appreciate your work, you know, because I really find it very meaningful, very beautiful. And you are very productive also. It's a lot of work, you know, so it's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. And yes, it's a lot of work. It's all for free. It's all out of love. It's my work as meditation. And I know that you do your work, so you can appreciate how much work. Sometimes we get emails of people, oh, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But, yes. You know, it's not that we have a team behind. It's just Chetna and myself doing everything from beginning to end.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yes. Okay, beloved. So thank you so much for your time today. It's been great connecting with you. And I send you a big, big, big hug all the way to Goa from the small little town in the northeast of Italy where I'm now, in Romagna. Bertinoro is a wonderful little place. And yeah, hope to catch up soon.
Yes. Thank you very much again. And big hug to you and Chetna. And bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.